Trek Geeks is proud to have Fansets as our presenting sponsor. Fansets is the place for amazing pin collectibles with over 400, that's right, I said it, 400 officially licensed Star Trek pins and new releases every month. Stay tuned for a special discount code good on your next order at fansets.com. Fansets, our pins have character. Go!
Go! I got to get into the zone to do this. You can't just scream at me, go.
Well, maybe I was screaming at the listeners to go to fansets.com. See, you don't know. It could be either way. See?
You looked right at me.
I was yelling at you. I did.
Yeah, you were. You were.
Yeah.
Hi, this is John Billingsley, Dr. Phil Phlox from Star Trek Enterprise. Now, I'm reading something that was written for me, and I think they could have done better. So this is not me, this is them. My prescription for you is a healthy dose of the Trek Geeks podcast starring Dan Davidson and Bill, he could have done better, Smith. It truly is the best medicine. Oh, come on, boys. And here's how they close it. Doctor's orders. Shame, tisk, tisk.
For the record, that was Dan Davidson that wrote that.
That was me.
Wow. Well,
that's even better because now it's forever blamed on Bill.
That's forever blamed on Bill.
There Thank you, Mr. Bakula.
There you go. Ooh, wow. All right. All right.
Potpourri division of Podfleet Command. It's the biggest little show this side of the Alpha Quadrant and the flagship of the Trek Geeks Podcast Network. Greetings to you, Jeopardy enthusiasts all across the galaxy, and welcome to the Trek Geeks Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bill Smith, and we have a fun one on tap today. It's an episode where we have not planned a damn thing, and we're going to see how the hell we get through this. And by we, I do mean my inestimable co-host and myself. I say inestimable because I cannot estimate how dumb he is. He is the largely annoying Dan Davidson. And Dan, sky's the limit today, brother.
Sky is the limit. You already said Jeopardy, so I'm thinking when Alex Trebek was in Insurrection, but that's a story for another time.
It is.
You said this to me a few weeks back when we were getting ready to sign off on our last podcast, and we don't have a topic. We're just doing one whole episode that we're dubbing as our outtake episode. It's not a collection of outtakes from past episodes. It's just, we're just talking about whatever. Could be Star Trek. Could be cake. We don't know. It's just going to be talking
cake.
About anything. Cake is great. So I think it's a fantastic idea. It's fun. The listeners seem to enjoy our outtakes. So we said, why not make it a full episode and just blab. Blab.
Well, you know, and at the end of every year, we usually do the outtake specials where we do the outtakes collected from the year. And last year, we didn't really do very many episodes.
Right.
So we thought that this would be kind of a way to make up for that in a sense, but also to give people a new experience. Because I think that part of the reason people listen is because they feel like they're part of the conversation. They feel like they're part of our friendship to some extent. Mm-hmm. And our outtakes are some of the most popular aspects of the show.
Because it shows your incredible genius and my incredible stupidity. I know what you're going to say. Isn't that just during the regular part of the episodes, too?
No, I was going to say, well, that's pretty much a hallmark of your life.
Thank you very much. See?
But I mean, without the outtake, we wouldn't have Coconut. We wouldn't have NPR Radio.
True.
We wouldn't have Bing Bong.
Bing Bong. Yeah, Bing Bong's a big one.
There's a whole bunch of things that kind of pepper in this podcast that we would not have if we didn't have the outtake segment.
Love pepper.
So for those of you discovering Trek Geeks for the first time,
mm-hmm.
This really is a Star Trek podcast. guarantee it. We've got 311 other episodes that are about Star Trek.
Pretty much.
But after the end theme music, every episode, there is an outtake. And it's it used to be like 2 to 3 minutes, and now it's more like 15 to 20 minutes of pre-show banter between Dan and I before we actually sit down to record Trek Geeks. And it's not scripted in any way.
Nope.
Anything that comes up in the outtake is a complete surprise to the other person.
It is.
And it's some of the best fun we've ever had recording this show. And that's what this entire episode is going to be. So
it's kind of like a Marvel movie.
If you're starting, it really is. If you're starting here, you might want to back up an episode to 311 and have some Star Trek content before you enter this.
Exactly. Now, I'm sure we're going to talk some Star Trek during our episode today. But
if you're starting with this, please excuse our mental illness. Because I definitely have one.
can you just say that for the other 311 too, can't you?
Yeah, probably. I wasn't on meds for those though.
There you go. Very good. Nice.
I can joke about it.
It's funny. I'm looking at the calendar. I got a Star Trek desk calendar for Christmas. Just one of those ones that has 365 pages.
Oh, yeah.
Rip off one a day. And I haven't ripped off yesterday's because it's just awesome. It's Jeffrey Combs, Wayoon, just staring at me. And it's like, the Dominion.
Which Wayoon?
Oh.
Does it say which episode?
It doesn't. It just says, Jeffrey Combs as Wayoon in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. There he is. You can't see him.
I think that's the first one. Song.
It's still awesome. He does have, looks like it is outside. He does have a yellow shirt in the background.
Yeah, gold, I say based on the uniform. Command.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice catch.
See, there's the Star Trek for us.
That's it. That's all we're getting.
So, there actually is like Star Trek things to talk about. Obviously, you saw Section 31 is wrapped filming.
Yes.
People wondering about the teaser image that was leaked, which looked pretty good. I'm sorry, Michelle Yeoh. I adore Michelle.
I love her. Love her so much. She looks fantastic in that picture.
I still wish we could have gotten prime Georgiou in her own show. I for more than an episode and a half.
Yep. I know.
Kills me.
It does. Well, she got killed, so it makes sense.
But honestly, she may not have gotten an Oscar at that point if she had done a long commitment to a Star Trek show.
That's true. We now have an Oscar winner as the major person in a Star Trek film. No. Pretty cool.
I believe we've had an Oscar winner as a villain.
We have. Plummer. I'm pretty sure Plummer won an Oscar, but
we're talking about
Insurrection. We're talking about Insurrection, yeah.
Yeah, F. Murray Abraham.
But yeah, but he's not top billing. He wasn't top billing at that.
I'm just saying we've had Oscar winners in Trek.
Yep. Yes, he won for Amadeus, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I've never seen the movie, but I was able to pull that one on my keister.
It's a good movie. I mean, it's almost 40 years old now.
Yeah.
Because I believe it came out in 85, and I think he won Best Actor in 85.
Yeah.
Or 84, awesome. One of the two. I can't remember which.
And I did, and it's not a spoiler because it's out there, so I'm going to say it. One of the things that I read, which I found very interesting, is we don't know really what time this movie is going to take place in, but apparently Rachel Garrett is going to be a character, the captain of the Enterprise C. So that was very interesting to read. Don't know if it's true. Well, I think it is true.
Because it is true.
They wrote about it. It is true, but don't know how that's going to play in. It's going to be very interesting. This will be now the second time that she has been referenced in a Star Trek series other than in Yesterday's Enterprise.
That's too bad.
Interesting. okay.
Well, no, people are saying that this is like, you know, it takes place in the lost years. And I kind of forgot one all about that novel. I don't know how I could have because it's a fantastic novel.
It is. All three of them are great.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. The series of novels.
Yep.
People are right. This is really kind of the first expansion into the lost years, even though it's Section 31.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
I'll tell you what, though, whatever that person is and whatever that gear he's got on his head, that was pretty cool. That picture.
I wonder if we'll see Pike in the wheelchair.
Oh, I don't think you were going to say that. That was cool. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Cause it's during the lost years.
Yeah.
Kirk is already in command of the Enterprise.
Very interesting.
Or at least we presume it's during the lost years.
Right.
The ones after TOS season 3 and before next gen. Or I should say after TAS season 2 and
right. We I get you.
Yeah.
Other Star Trek news, might as well just get rid of all the Star Trek news right off the bat. We're like a week away from Discovery season 5.
We are.
Yeah, which is and hard the final believe. Season. It is hard to believe. I haven't been able to watch any of the we get the screeners. I know that you've watched some. I haven't been able to watch any because when I was talking about it with Sue, she never watched the rest of season 4. She stopped at some point. So she hasn't seen the rest of season 4, and I kind of want her to see the rest of season 4 before we start season 5. But everybody knows my take on season 4 was kind of like yawn. So she's not like overly excited to start it either. So hopefully we'll get it going pretty soon.
I think so. I mean, I've rewatched season 4 since, and I kind of still have the same opinion of it.
Yeah.
Again, for those who may forget, we're not Discovery haters by any means.
No, God, no, not at all. Love Discovery.
We don't hate any of the new Star Trek that's been created since 2017. Nope. We're not big fans. But neither of us were really satisfied by season 4 because we thought it was about 7 episodes too long.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And I had many issues with some of the writing decisions. I'm not saying it was written poorly. I just questioned some of the decisions they made, like giving the big moment with the aliens to Book and not right. Burnham.
Instead of Captain, right. And you're right. It was too long. I always kind of bristle at people that say, oh, Star Trek movies or Star Trek shows shouldn't have all these big space battles. It's more than that. But I like the space battles. I think they're great. Special effects are awesome. I love seeing them.
You Kirk was firing both. Phasers every other week.
Thank you. Just because the special effects weren't great doesn't mean look at the special effects in Picard season 3 in the row episode. I mean that image of that starship coming up from your bottom of your screen in the middle of just about to have that firefight is incredible. You can have that, and it's still as good as any other Star Trek. But you're right. You can if you don't have that and you're putting in stuff that is questionable writing that we've talked about, or it's just kind of slow. It makes the season drag. And that's what happened to me.
I don't disagree. I'm looking forward to season 5. I think it's different in tone. Mm-hmm. I know that based on other articles that have been published, they focus, you know, they do take feedback from fans very seriously. And there was one fan that wrote a great piece about disaster fatigue. And yes. Star Trek Discovery, and I think his name was Bill Smith. And yes, I'm not taking credit for season 5, but it's definitely a pivot from what they were doing.
Yeah. That's right. How many episodes are you in?
I've not even finished the first episode because I'm busy packing.
Yeah, that's something we're going to talk about. Absolutely.
So you've seen photos of my desk, right?
I have.
So nobody at home can see this, but maybe I'll take a photo of it later. But it was covered with Trek stuff?
Trek stuff. Yep.
That whole top shelf is empty.
Completely empty. That's you've been doing a good job packing.
So, still lots to go. Yeah. The roll-off dumpster gets delivered Monday.
And not a lot of time, my friend. So
we got plenty of time.
What's going on? Because I'm sure some people have heard or we haven't got
plenty
heard.
Of time. So, my wife and I bought a house.
Woohoo!
In North Carolina.
Congratulations. Get the hell out of here.
Thank you. It's a wonderful little town about 45 minutes east of Raleigh. It's kind of an up and coming area. Some of the areas that were, you know, people were looking at and moving to before the pandemic really have gone up significantly in price since the pandemic and during the pandemic. And now there's sort of a next area of towns that are the next, you know, sort of round of towns that are up and coming.
Right.
And so we found a great house in a development that our realtor actually added to our list of ones to see. And it turns out it's our dream house. It's got everything we wanted.
The one.
It was awesome. The one. And we are so psyched. So we are moving April 25th.
That's right. That's Less than a month away. Yeah. North Carolina is like the largest growing state in the United States right now. So
yeah,
you're adding to that statistic. So congratulations, man. I know that you've wanted to get out of New England for a long time.
Yeah.
I've wanted a long time. And I'm sure you're going to just have a great time down there. You and the missus and the pup.
It does check a whole lot of boxes. I have, well, it's no secret. I've never liked winter, not even as a kid.
Right.
Yep. So for 50 plus years, I have wanted not to live in New Hampshire.
Right.
The 3 years I didn't live in New Hampshire, I lived in Denver. Right. And that was just idiocy on my part. It gained me some lifelong friendships, but the weather was just drier.
Yeah.
It wasn't any less snowy. But now this is, you know, after the last few New England winters, especially last year, where it was bitterly cold for so long. We had that weekend where it was 50 below zero. Mm. I know. I'm sure you remember. Yeah,
that was fun.
We decided we were both done. So, So in less than a month, we will be in the new house, and we can't wait. We closed this week.
Yes, and, congratulations. Saw that.
Thank you. We are officially homeowners.
Look at that. Get out of here, you silly.
Now we're going through 14 years worth of junk we haven't looked at.
Oh, that's
That's why the roll-off dumpster is being delivered on Monday.
That's going to be a lot. That's going to be a full dumpster, I'm thinking.
It could be 15 cubic yards. Yeah.
Well, it's quite an accomplishment. Congratulations on the two of you owning a home together for the first time. That's really great. I know how excited I was when Sue and I did it. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get things set up, decorating. Decorating is always great. Of course, you're going to have the pooch to have her new backyard to run around in. So that's pretty cool. I'm very excited for you, man. That's great. Congratulations.
That's the other thing, too, with a dog that does not like other dogs.
Yeah.
We have, for those who don't know, we have adopted a senior, you know, American Staffordshire / Pit Bull mix 2 years ago when after our dog Abby passed away. And she's a 50-pound dog, Isabella. She is not people aggressive in any way. She adores people, as you have found out firsthand.
Yeah.
But she does not like other dogs, period. I mean, like, it's not good.
Yep.
So I would rather have that problem than the opposite, quite frankly.
True.
But we want her to have her own yard because we live in a townhouse condo development and people don't care, you know, how dogs they're close get to other dogs, or sometimes even if they're on leash.
Right.
And that's not good for Isabella.
Nope.
So we want her to have her own space. We want us to have our own space with no people against our walls. And so it's happening finally.
There you go. That's awesome. Speaking of dogs, this week was very special for us as well. Of course, people that have listened to the show know that our sweet Callie passed away 2 Decembers ago, and Ari is getting up there in age. Ari is almost 11, and we've been going back and forth for a year of whether or not we were going to get another dog. We didn't know if we wanted her to, you know, have all of the attention and love that, or if we wanted to have a friend for her, because whenever we go down to Donna and Chris's, she and Lily are just inseparable.
Yeah.
Best friend. So we've looked at a couple dogs, and we've always said if we're going to get another dog, we want to make sure that it's perfect for Aria. Not for us. I mean,
right.
Of course, we want to like it also, but we want to make sure that Aria is comfortable. So we've had a couple of visits with other rescues and met a couple of dogs, and Aria just was not into it. They were too young. They were too puppyish, too much energy. And of course, Aria's kind of, we call her the old maid from time to time because she likes to chill out, which is her right after a wonderful first 10 years. But a couple weeks ago, my dear friend Jen, and who was a good friend of Sue's now, who I went to, I was best friends with Jen growing up and during high school years. She runs a puppy sitting place up in up past Manchester. Feathers, Fins, and Fur. Pretty cool name.
Like, no.
Anyway, we've always brought our dogs there. And she posted something to us on Facebook a couple of weeks ago about a lab that was looking for a rescue and had been in foster for several months. And we said, you know what? Let's go check it out. Jen was actually watching the dog. So we went and checked it out with Aria. They hit it off immediately. She is the most beautiful little thing. Her name is Miley. She's a lab mix. She's about 1.5. And the sad thing is she was actually born at the rescue facility.
Oh, wow.
A year and 2 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the mother was brought in and had a litter of nine, and she is one of two that had yet to be adopted in this 2 years. So she's been in a foster home for 6 months with an incredible person. Laura took care of her for 6 months. And we had our gotcha day this past week. She's ours.
That's
now.
Amazing.
She's at our house. She's a sweetheart. She's very nervous. She's very shy.
Yeah.
But she's extremely loving, and Aria and her just get along great. So we're very excited. And we're gonna give her the life that she deserves instead of being in different homes or shelters for her life. Be here, and we're gonna love her to death.
Well, and here's the thing too that a lot of people don't realize, and I know this since my wife started volunteering for a rescue, the same one we got Isabella from, and that's that black dogs are usually among the last to be adopted, for whatever reason.
Right.
I'm not sure why it is, but you guys have given a sweet little black dog a home, and Kelly and I couldn't be happier for you guys or for Miley. So she's coming to a good home. And she's going to have nothing but love, you know, for as long as she's with you guys. And I know that for a fact.
It's funny. You've been in my house, so you know that we have the open concept from the kitchen to the dining room into the living room.
Yep.
And her safe place, because she's still getting used to everything, is the dining room. So she like walks around the dining room table like all day, and she goes into the kitchen a little bit. She'll go into the living room a little bit. We've had her upstairs, and she's been in here in the podcast studio office. A couple of times we've actually coaxed her up. But her safe place right now is the dining room. She's actually slept there both nights we had her. She sleeps on the dining room rug. Eventually, I'm sure she'll come into the bedroom, on the bed with us. We don't have any restrictions for our dogs. They're members of the family, so they can be on the furniture. And she's so cute. The only thing I can describe it, and I just posted something on Facebook today so people can take a look and see her picture. Her ears look like bat wings. When she has them fully extended, she's like bat dog.
What you need to do is capture some video of that and then post it as like an Instagram reel with the music from, you know, Batman that goes dun, 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 dun.
I like that idea. I can do
that. Thank you.
So yeah, we're very happy. We're very excited. And Lily, my sister's dog, will be meeting her tomorrow. And I'm sure
that'll be good.
She's very laid back as well. So, yeah, we're very excited to have a new member of the family. We've only not had a dog once, in our entire relationship, and that was when she had two dogs when we first started seeing each other. Max passed away fairly soon after we started dating, and then Madeline passed away, and then there was like a month where we didn't have any dog, and then finally my dad, who we got Fury for when he was going through his cancer treatment, said, you know what, take Fury up to Maine, be with the kids, have a good life with kids and family. So that month was absolute hell. We could not stand it. We will never not have a dog again.
Because
it's just, we're dog people. And so we're glad to have two again. We actually had three at one point. Then we had two, then one. Now we're back up to two. So I don't think we're going to go to three again, because that's a lot. But I could never foster either, man. I'll give them Laura and all the other fosters in the world. Hats off to you guys, because I could never do it. If I was a foster, I'd probably own 600 dogs, because I would never give them. I'd never want to give them up.
You hear about foster fails all the time, and that's where the fosterer adopts the dog.
Yes.
And I totally understand. I think it takes a special breed of person to foster a dog, because they give them all this love and, you know, acclimate them to an environment that is counter to what they've known, and then they willingly say goodbye to them.
Right.
I'm like you. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. And Laura actually told us that, you know, like I said, she's been with Miley for 6 months.
Yeah.
And she actually said, you know, she felt good about everything with our talks and our visits. But if we decided that we had not going to take her, she was going to adopt her. She was.
Oh, okay.
So she would have been taken care of no matter what, but now, greedily, she's ours, and I'm very happy.
Well, that is awesome. Certainly a reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
We probably should celebrate some friends of ours and do a little business with America, and then we'll come back and talk about nothing. How's that sound?
I like that idea. Nothing is good. I don't
know anything. Your face is nothing. Dan, of course, we want to take a moment to thank our friends, our dear, dear friends at Fansets, for being the presenting sponsor of Trek Geeks.
Pins, baby. That's what they do. That's what they've done. And that's what they will be doing because, simply put, they're the best at it. And they always have new Star Trek pins for you to add to your collection. Like this week, it's no exception because there's two new mini Deltas that are available. The Vulcan IDIC pin and the animated series Delta, which I absolutely love. Plus, from the universe of Trek, it's everyone's favorite Andorian. It's Shran and all his glittered glory. And brand new from the Masterships collection, and the latest of the great line, it's the USS Enterprise NCC-1701-G. It's the G. Oh, gee, it's the G. And if you hurry, you can still get one of the Starfleet Academy pins that was an exclusive pin from the recent convention in San Francisco just a couple of weeks ago.
Pins, baby, that's what they do. Pins, baby, that's what they do. I don't know why you wrote that copy. It just made me want to sing it, you know.
I don't mind.
And thank you
don't
for adding
the coconut.
Coconut, lots of new releases this weekend, as always, because, I mean, Fansets puts out an insane amount of pins. Okay. So this means y'all need to get down to fansets.com. Notice the y'all I dropped in there now that I'm moving to North Carolina. Get please. All of those great new pins. And then at checkout, be sure to enter the special discount code word TrekGeeks for 10% off your entire order. That's everything, pins, accessories, gift certificates, you name it. That's Trek Geeks in all capital letters with no spaces. And of course, don't forget, when you spend more than $30, you automatically get free shipping in the U.S.
Fansets. Our pins have character. And we thank our friends at Fansets for being the presenting sponsor of Trek Geeks.
You know, I'm not moving to Alabama.
Sorry.
That's, nor am I going to, like, you know... Savannah, where it's kind of like molasses dripping out of your mouth.
I just got
that's a quote from
North
The Office.
South. Yes, okay. I just got done watching North and South, so I've got like Southern accent syndrome going on right now.
Will you get
not
on it?
Not that that's a bad thing.
You get on it and finish The Office, crying out loud.
Here's the thing.
I watch it alone.
No. Here's the thing. Everybody knows that I stitch as a hobby. I've been doing it for 20 years. Whenever I'm going to be doing that, I don't want to put on something that I have to pay attention to because I'm paying attention to what I'm working on. So if I have something on that I've seen before and I'm watching, it's easier for me to concentrate on the stitching.
I'm dying over here. The idea that you pay attention to anything is really kind of
you've
foreign.
Seen the fantastic work that I do. You have some of the fantastic work that I do. Could you imagine what that Delta would have looked like if I was watching The Office?
I think that it's probably very easy for you to follow a pattern and get into a zone. I get that. But you can't even pay attention when you're walking down the hallway.
So? See, I didn't disagree with you.
Good. Because there are witnesses.
Yes. Yes. I do know I have to finish watching The Office. I do.
Yeah, you do. Or else my wife, I think, might murder you.
Okay.
Dude, you don't piss off a Boston girl. It's okay to not be afraid of me. You should be afraid of her.
You're going to be 1,000 miles away. What do I care?
Dude, she could probably bench you.
I'm not doubting that at all. But from there, it's going to be hard to do.
Means she will have no problem dragging your body into a place where nobody will find it.
Sue always says that she's going to take my body up to northern Maine and hang it from a tree.
Wow, this got dark.
Yeah, I know, right?
What did like, Sue watch when you're not around?
Like, in like one of those towns that doesn't have a name, it's like a Borg designation. It's like T-77. That's what Northern
Maine's
like.
TK-421, why aren't you at your post?
Yep, she said that once. I mean, we'd only been together for like a year or something like that. And she said that, and I'm like, what?
Her true colors came out when she finally realized what you were about.
Yeah. It makes me, it's total tangents. I saw an eagle. It makes me think of one of our favorite quotes from my youngest Becca, my youngest daughter Becca, when she was a little kid. Now, let me set the stage. When we would be driving somewhere, it was always Max behind me and Becca behind Sue, and I always drive. For this time, for whatever reason, it was reversed. Becca was behind me, and Becca was, I don't know, 6 years old at the most, and she's kicking the back of my chair. She's kicking the back of my chair, driving me crazy. And finally, I said, Becca, if you don't stop kicking the back of my chair, I'm going to stop this car. I'm going to cut your legs off and I'm going to hang them on the windshield wipers. And I'm looking at Sue, and Sue's just like smirking. And there's like just 20 seconds of silence. And then Becca goes, "Well, if you do that, you'll have to carry me around with my bloody legs."
This got really dark.
It's just, that's our favorite cold for her, because she just, it was awesome. She stopped kicking.
I should hope so.
Yes.
In fairness, you are a big horror fan.
I am. Yes.
Yeah.
I do like the horror films. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't watched one in a long time, but I do like them.
I watch one every time I record with you.
I walked right into that rake.
Toing.
Thank you.
There was one other Star Trek story this week that really kind of got Trek Twitter. I can't call it Trek X because that's just dumb. Trek Twitter into a bit of an uproar. And that is that season 2 of Star Trek Prodigy has been released in French on the France.tv website.
I saw that.
Leading some people to believe whether it was a mistake or whether it was a new partnership or whatever. The story was leaked by one Star Trek site that we do not use for news because we think it's garbage. It has since at least been, I don't want to say semi-confirmed by the Hagemans that it does appear to be some kind of release, but they don't really have any information on it.
Interesting.
So it's normally what happens is that when Paramount or when it was CBS struck up a partnership for distribution, it was announced and there was a press release that both parties involved in the transaction could send out to their viewership or to trade in the industry to announce the partnership for distribution. And that did not happen in this case.
Oops.
There was one podcast, which I believe is in French, I could be wrong, that gave an audio confirmation from somebody at France TV. But I took the stance and the stance that a lot of people take is, well, until it's announced by Paramount, that means nothing because who knows who that person is.
Right.
So it's a really weird situation. For once, the US is not getting a Star Trek first, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But it would have been nice if Paramount had had enough intelligence to actually announce the damn thing.
Well, I hate to speak ill will, but they were stupid enough to cancel it. So are you surprised? I mean, come on. I mean, Prodigy is phenomenal. It is Star Trek in its truest form, and some effing bean counter decided that it wasn't worth it because it's a streaming service and they needed to clean up their bottom line. So they axed one of the most popular series that's been out there. It's just ludicrous. That's been always a sore spot with me. I'm so glad that Netflix picked it up and that the incredible writing, animators, special effects, voiceover actors like our dear friend Bonnie will be able to have their work from season 2 seen by everybody when it gets released on Netflix at some point. But yeah,
I can only hope they order a season 3. Yeah. But here's the other thing too, is that it doesn't appear that France is promoting it.
Yeah. It hasn't been that. I mean, if I hadn't seen just that, I don't go on to X anymore because it's just a pile of crap, but, I did see something about it and I'm like, oh, that's really weird. And I didn't dig any deeper into it.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen any major headlines about it anywhere either.
I will say the same website that I criticized is the one that broke the story. As far as I know, they did have spoilers in the article with regard to episode names. At least this is what I was told. I didn't confirm it myself. At one point, I believe the Hagemans were reaching out to other Twitter accounts, asking them to take the story down until there was more information. And this other website essentially didn't respond to the Hagemans at all and just kept the story up.
More class.
They say they didn't ghost them, but they ghosted them.
Yeah. Too bad. We're looking forward to speaking to them at some point also.
Yeah.
We've talked to them. I've had several email exchanges with both of the Hagemann brothers, and we're going to have them on at some point. But we are going to be holding off until we do have that official Netflix release of season 2. We're going to have them on to talk all about all about Prodigy and all about their fandom, which of course is huge. So that'll be something to look forward to. I'm guessing it's probably not going to be until late this year, if not 2025, but that'll be great. And I can't wait for season two. I mean, season one was fantastic.
I love season one. It's infinitely rewatchable, just like the rest of Trek. And that's what tells me that it's amazing, quite honestly.
Yep.
It was great because every time we've run into Dan and Kevin Hageman at a convention, they have always stopped by. They've always said hi. Yep. We've gotten to the point where we get to give them grief and they give it back. you can tell they're fans. They're not just guys who produce insanely successful things. They're people. They're fans like we are. Mm-hmm. And like every other fan, they just want to share what they love about Star Trek. And I think that's the best part.
And I said it before, one of the things that I love so much about quote unquote new Trek, and I'm not dogging or dissing Legacy at all, because I'm not the show Legacy, which hopefully will happen someday, but the old Star Trek. That's one of the things that I love so much, and I've said it several times. The people that are writing and running these shows, Terry Metalis is a perfect example. They're fans. They love it. They want to make sure that it's the right stuff that we're seeing as fans and as viewers of these series. And they are no exception. They are huge fans of the Star Trek universe, and it shows. And season one was awesome. And I just hope to God somehow John Noble is back. He's the best voice. I hope he has to be the best voice. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that I'm always very sad that I didn't get to see is when we're in Vegas, we don't really have time to go watch a lot of the things at the main stage.
Yeah.
Noble was at the convention 2 years ago when it was at Bally. And that's one thing that I wish I had been able to go to the main sitting area and watch him on stage talk. Just listening to his voice. He's like melted butter oozing all over your body. He's awesome.
There's a visual I did.
I did that on purpose. But yeah, I hope he's back. He's good. Good
and stuff. Here comes Breakfast again.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. Hello, Breakfast. What are you doing there?
Makes me think of the Seinfeld episode when Kramer like bathes in a hot tub of butter or something. That,
oh yeah, yeah,
like a turkey.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's really kind of tough. And there are days I appreciate what social media does for Trek Geeks as a whole, as a network. And there are other days where I can't stand social media. And it's like, well, you know, you guys are just marketing shills for CBS, not just us. Anyone who, you know, defends, you know, the taking down stories about the Prodigy season two release. And it's like, we have been critical of CBS and Paramount so many times. We've talked about when we don't like things about particular episodes or particular episodes in general. And I'm going to come right out and say it, that since the merger, the foul torpan, the refusion of CBS and Paramount.
Nicely done. I like that.
They clearly have their heads up their asses.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing.
There's a difference between being critical, which we are, and respecting the IP, which we do.
Right.
Just because we respect the IP means we are going to do what they ask because we respect the IP, unlike so many others that don't. So calling us, you know, shills for them is BS because we respect the IP. But we have been very critical of some of the aspects, and what you just said is very critical, and it's also very true. It seems like the people that are making the decisions right now haven't the slightest idea what Star Trek is or what has done for those companies, both of them. And it's sad.
Yeah, it's, they don't, I want to phrase this the right way. They didn't do a great job of promoting it. They did more than they'd done in the past with promoting Star Trek. But it seems like they never really understood the fandom. I'm not talking about licensing. I'm not talking about products. I'm talking about just sheer marketing.
Right.
It seems like they would market to all the wrong people. The one time I think they got it right was when they had Patrick Stewart come to STLV to announce that he was coming back as Picard. It didn't happen at a Comic-Con. It didn't happen in a WonderCon. Mm-hmm. It happened on home turf for Star Trek fans.
Yep.
And it's still a moment that Star Trek fans talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Company
included.
Yeah. And I think it's just, it's not great. Instead of, you know, there are tons of us out here you know, who talk about Star Trek and have YouTube shows about Star Trek and blog about Star Trek and have podcasts who were essentially promoting their product for free. We don't get paid to do this. Nope. Certainly not by them.
Not at all.
And you would think they would make it easier for people to talk about it. Yes, they have given us access to their library of images for press releases. They've given us screeners to pre-advance episodes. That's really the extent of it. When it comes to, well, we tried to book talent for the first Trek Talks. We got such a hard time from them. Yeah. And it's just, it's unfortunate because ultimately we are doing their job.
Right.
I don't want to say for them because, you know, they do some of it, but we promote Star Trek with every single episode. Yeah. And they don't make it easy to try to get guests.
I don't think they understand how important thing, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back. I'm talking about as a whole, how important podcasts for Star Trek are in terms of getting the word out there. Star Trek's probably one of the biggest categories for podcasts out of everything. I mean, you can do a Google search for Star Trek podcast and you're going to get like 30 pages, probably more. I mean, they're everywhere. And you would think that they would make it a lot easier. I mean, just, you know, I don't want to be critical, but I will be a little bit. I want to talk to the Hagemans tomorrow, but the decision was made that it should wait until the release.
By CBS PR. Yeah.
Why?
By PR.
We can talk. We don't have to talk about specific episodes of episode two. We can season two. We can talk about everything in season one and what their thought process is for some of the decisions that were made during that season.
Yeah, but, and we should be clear: the Hagemans didn't make that decision.
Right. Correct.
It was Paramount PR.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Dan Kevin would like drive up to New Hampshire and talk.
They probably would.
Yeah.
I understand that they want to do things the right way. They want to provide a bounce to certain things. And believe me, I understand that this is a first world problem. We are two middle-aged white dudes, you know, in New England, hosting a podcast, you know, whining about the fact that, you know, the studio doesn't treat us right. That's not really what we're doing.
No, not at all.
I know it seems that way. And in a sense, it kind of sounds that way, but there's so much more they could do to make this franchise accessible to everybody and promote it to everybody than they're doing. They waited and they waited until after Picard had already, you know, concluded to put Patrick Stewart in a major Super Bowl ad campaign. Which, I mean, Picard can still be watched and so can Next Gen, but you'd think they would. I mean, he narrated some stuff before. He was in one other ad campaign of theirs, you know, but that last ad campaign was probably the best of them.
Yeah.
And Picard's not even on the air. It's not in production.
Speaking of which, my brother was at episode 10 of Picard season 3 last week when I saw him, and he has been loving it. He's really loved it. He's not one to text a lot to me, but he's been texting me as he's been watching it with all this. These great comments and questions, stuff like that. So I said, dude, you're in for a major awesome time with episode 10.
So good.
Such a good season. Just absolutely incredible.
Yeah. You know what kind of surprises me? I'm on a tangent here for a little bit.
Yeah.
I've had more than a number of people ask me, well, how's that going to work with you moving to North Carolina? Will you and Dan still be able to do Trek Geeks? And it's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
You and I record on an online room and you are 8 minutes away from my house right now.
Right.
When we started
2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. When we started Trek Geeks, you were 2 hours away in Maine.
Yep.
So for most of our interactions on the podcast, it has been in some sort of virtual recording studio.
Yeah. There's been what, like two, maybe three times where we've been in the same room together. Maybe. Tops. No, I don't even think three. Couple, maybe two.
There was the one we did in the basement at your sister's house.
Yep.
There's the one we did at Northeast Trek Con.
Yep. And then Vegas. So three.
Three. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Out of 312 plus supplementals.
A couple of Vegas ones. So technically four.
Oh, true. Yeah. They weren't specific podcasts. They were just recordings of the panels that we did.
Right.
So, yeah. I gotcha.
Technically four out of 312.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I guess this sets up the Southern headquarters for Trek Geeks.
There you go. Okay. I like that.
In North Carolina.
Is it considered the South, North Carolina?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. All right.
I have to look up where the Mason-Dixon line is, quite frankly.
While you're doing that, speaking of conventions, we got Long Island coming up pretty soon, buddy.
Yeah,
maybe. It's going to be one of our first conventions on the East Coast in a long, long time. You talked about the Northeast one that we did a few years back, but man, I'm excited for this one. It's going to be great.
North Carolina absolutely is south of the Mason-Dixon
line. It is south? Okay. All right. All right. Give you that. Yeah. So we're going to be together for a convention in New York, and we're going to be having a great time. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be great. I get to drive there. You still have to fly.
It's going to be weird to fly separately to Vegas.
It is. It's going to be very weird. Yep. It'll be so quiet.
But I'll have a shorter flight than you will.
Very much shorter, but I still think I'm getting in before you.
I have a direct flight.
You're a jerk. That's all right. And I will say this right now. I'm going to announce this and surprise you here as we're recording. I will not be going to any of the East Coast conventions that Creation is putting on this year, unfortunately. I know they're doing one in Jersey and one in New Orleans. Is that what the other one is? I forget where it is.
I don't remember,
but unfortunately I will not be able to partake in those because of other things that I got going on this year with the missus.
Well, the Creation one is in November, I think, in Jersey.
Yep. Yep.
There's
another one in September. I forget where that is.
I can't go to that one anyway, but yeah. It's at the same place where I went to the first Office convention.
Oh, okay.
Which was kind of cool.
Yeah,
so it's a small venue. I imagine that the stage and the dealer's room will be all in the same area.
What's going on with Creation all of a sudden having Star Trek conventions again?
I know. Yeah, that one's November 8th to 10. They've done other shows there, and they have one in May for something else. It just says Creation, New Jersey.
September 1. Washington, D.C.
Yeah, but that's...
That's not it.
That's not it.
Yeah. Don't know.
There's one in Nashville in September.
Nashville, that's the one. Okay, I said New Orleans, but yeah, Nashville, yep. Yeah, interesting.
That's like an 8-hour drive for me, so I'm not going to that one.
Yeah, yeah. So for all you people on the East Coast, unfortunately, we won't be there. We'll be there in spirit, but not this year.
No, not this year, and that's okay.
Yeah, we got Vegas. We'll be in Vegas.
I don't think we'll be expanding to a bunch of conventions.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. It is hard because life,
work,
family,
wanting to stay married, that kind of thing.
That's a biggie. Yeah.
Kind of an important one right there. It's at least in the top three.
If the conventions are closer to us, like say if there's one in Boston,
Nashua,
Boston's easier to do.
Boston is very easy. Yeah. That would be doable.
Or if there's one in Raleigh.
Yeah. True.
You could very easily fly down and stay at the house. And yep. We could do that one quite easily. So
yeah, I mean, especially Boston. Yeah, you fly in, stay at house, and we could drive to and from each day. We don't have to be down there the whole weekend.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right.
It saves money.
But I can't see really doing much beyond what we're already doing.
Yeah.
I imagine there will be another Trek Long Island next year. Happy to do that one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think Vegas and Trek Long Island are probably our commitments for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Speaking of travel,
yeah,
let's segue into it. Okay, see, this is great about this episode. We just segue into whatever the hell we want. I might be showing my ugly mug at HoFoCo in person this summer.
Oh yeah, Hollywood Food Coalition.
Yeah. Yeah, Sue and I are going out to Disneyland this summer. She said, cool. Let's pick some place to go. This time you have to pick. Let's go somewhere besides Disney World. So I picked Disneyland.
You're an idiot.
Well, there's a reason. We might be able to meet some friends out there. So if they're able to go, that'd be great. If not, we're still going to have a good time. And I've already told Billingsley, and I'm planning on seeing him and maybe going to HoFoCo to say hi to everybody and take a look and maybe spend some time helping him out a little bit. Ooh, I'd like to take the
I was just going to say, you better take her to Musso and Friends.
Yeah, we've already talked about that. There's also a place, this is I don't even know the name of it, and I'm sorry I don't have it. There's this person on Instagram. It's this candy company that's outside of the LA area, and it shows how this guy makes candy canes, making for like 50 years. And it's incredible to watch.
And, oh, wow.
And I want to go to that candy store and buy stuff because it looks fantastic. But yeah, we want to do that. Hopefully I'll be able to say hi to Champion. So we'll see.
You should go to Scum and Villainy, the Star Wars theme.
Oh, bar. Yeah. Yep. Do that. We are actually going to go to Disneyland. We've been out there and stayed at a Disneyland resort when we went to go see Dancing with the Stars several years ago, but we didn't go into the parks. But we're going into the park this time. We're going to go into Disneyland one day. We're going to go to California Adventure. Two of the days we're there. And so we're looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to going to the Marvel campus.
The Avengers.
The Avengers campus. I'll have my Thanos tattoo shown proudly that day.
I would really love to see Avengers campus.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen unless I go to California, and that's not happening in the foreseeable future. I still haven't seen Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Florida. My wife went before the pandemic.
I'm going to be honest. I love Star Wars. Galaxy's Edge is not a big deal to me. It's basically just the immersion into that environment. There are two rides. The Millennium Falcon ride is okay. And the Rise of the Resistance is fantastic. But other than that, it's just stores and the look of things.
Gotcha.
If they were to create a whole park that had the environment plus all the thrill rides, that would be great. And that's what Disney has to do. They have to make not just sections of a park a certain thing. They should make an Avengers park, I think. They really should. Something like that. I think they're talking about maybe doing a villains park is a rumor of the new park that they're going to do, because they have announced that they are going to do another park. But I'm hoping it's something like villains. But we'll see. But I can't wait to be on Avengers Campus. Great.
I wish they could do Avengers Campus in Florida, but they can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the agreement with Universal. Yep.
Yeah. That's just absolutely ludicrous.
Yep.
But I get it. Yeah. You know, that's what happens when Disney starts buying everything.
It's true. Yep. So I got my Thanos tattoo all ready for that. I also got another tattoo a week or so ago. I finally got Lost Forever etched on my body.
That's too bad.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. But it came out fantastic. And you know what's it's amazing? I've got the amazing tattoo that Sausage did, the first one I ever did, my Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And then one of the guys in Hudson at the Ink Club did Thanos, and he did a fantastic job. But my Jaws tattoo and my Lost tattoo were done by Jay's daughter, who is only an apprentice. But oh my God, her work is just phenomenal. She does the best lines I've ever seen. It's incredible how good. How great a job she does. So I'm very happy with my Lost tattoo. It was not comfortable, dude. I'll tell you what. This is my fifth one, and it was on my calf. And that's one of the most uncomfortable areas to get one. And they ain't lying, because that sucked. It was 3+ hours, and it was awful. I did not love that at all. And it's big, too. So
the worst one for me was the forearm.
Okay.
Just because the skin is so thin there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can believe that the calf hurt.
I would have thought that wouldn't, because it's meaty. So I'm like, okay, maybe that shouldn't hurt as much, but nope, it was not great. By that last half hour of 3+ hours, I'm like, oh my God, hurry up. Just get it done. Please.
I'm willing to bet it hurt as much as your face.
No, I think that hurts more. That's two. That is two. That's good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're funny and you can add.
So Kelly and I were driving back. We dropped our car off to get service today.
Wow.
And I don't know how we got on the subject, but we got on the subject of Easter seals, because Easter is this weekend.
True.
Here in the United States. I don't know if it's that way, because I'm not religious. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, it's like, we have no idea what Easter seals does. And so she looked it up. And while she was looking it up, I said, you know, as a kid, I thought that it was a day that they dressed seals up for Easter instead of like the Easter bunny. And she just started laughing so hard. She goes, oh my God, that's so wholesome. But as a kid, that's what I thought. It's like, oh, Easter seals is where, you know, like sometimes you got reindeer for Christmas, you get whatever you get,
Turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Turkeys for Thanksgiving. Yeah, seals for Easter. I thought that, you know, it's where we, you know.
I love that idea.
Dressed seals up for Easter. But I was young and I didn't understand. Now I know.
No.
But yeah, I felt kind of dumb.
I actually love that idea. Now I just want to go dress up seals. I love seals. I've always loved seals. So I would love to dress them up in some little funny ears, little suits, a little basket, like on their flipper. I could go walk around. SeaWorld, they should do that.
So anyway. For those who don't know, Easter Seals provides life-changing disability and community services, you know, leading the way for inclusion and, as they say, what they call it, full equity. They say together we're empowering people with disabilities, families, and communities to be full and equal participants in society. So certainly a decent mission. I've never really known much beyond today, but apparently it has nothing to do with SEALs being dressed up for Easter.
I think we should start a letter writing campaign to them and say that their mascot should be a seal dressed up in an Easter.
So like in an Easter bonnet or a suit with lots of pastel colors or what?
That, I like that idea. I think that's a great idea. The pastel colored suit with a little, little thatch basket with little, that sure. grass coming out of it.
And, should there be eggs
on it? Eggs in it. Yep. The seal would probably weird. Eat the eggs.
It's weird.
So maybe some,
fish,
sweet tart chicks.
That's oddly specific.
That's because I really want some, but I'm not eating sweets these days.
I've had the really opposite. Good. I've had the opposite problem. You know, they say buying a house is stressful.
Yeah.
I have not felt an ounce of stress in this entire project.
That's good. That means it's the right thing, man.
It makes
that
me wonder if I'm right doing it wrong.
No, not at all. As you know, we had a little bit of stress when we did our move. Remember the day we were driving to work? My wife called because the ceiling in the kitchen was collapsing because water leaked in and we were unaware. Oh, yeah. My God. But you won't have to. I don't think you have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about any of that. That's part of the reason why you're not stressed. I'll tell you right now, is because you're not selling where you live right now.
Right.
You're just leaving. That's a huge part of it.
Okay.
So I think that might be why you're feeling the way you are, which is great. I think that's fantastic. You should not have stress in something that's such a big thing and is such a positive change for me because you're leaving, but for you because you're going to be having your dream house. You know what I'm saying?
You always got to punch that in there, don't you?
Use the face things. I'm going to use that.
Because you're leaving. Your face is part of the show.
I'm going to miss you so much and you don't even know.
I know. I know.
So I think, you know what's so great? You believe that. Just kidding, guy. You know, I'm gonna
friggin' hate you. Friggin' hate you.
Not gonna be able to come over and say, "Hey, dude, what's up?"
And we'll yeah, like, all those times we'll, you do it.
Yeah, all those yeah. times we do when you like come yeah. over and I give you something and you give me something. And
let's be clear, we exchange items.
Yes.
Gift. I just want to. It sounded a lot dirtier the way Dan said it.
Well, that's because you're a pig.
Wow.
You're disgusting.
You woke up angry today.
Oh, actually, I'm in a great mood.
And if I had your face, I'd be angry too.
Oh, here it is. That's three. One, two, three. That's a trifecta.
It's a hat trick where I come from.
Au jantre.
What?
No, not at all. No. I was just trying to, I was pretending I could speak another language and I really can't.
You butchered it, quite frankly.
I did. That's okay. What don't I butcher when it comes to talking or typing or reading? Am I right?
Oh, I am not questioning the veracity of your claims.
It's funny. I just wanted to say the one thing, but then I'm like, no, I screw that up too. No, I screw that up too also. So yeah, there was three things there. So I have three now too. So you have three insults to me and I have three insults to me.
That's a good day where I come from. That's a good day.
Good day. That's a good day.
I hate you so much.
I got something else I'm very excited for that's Star Trek related.
What's up?
I got the email yesterday, and I have since pressed that button. My XO6 Constable Odo will be coming very soon. Oh. I pulled the trigger on it, and I can't wait to get it. And now, even though they're so expensive, but now I'm kicking myself for not getting the other Deep Space Nine ones that are already sold out. I should have the whole crew. But
oh, this, so the I've not bought one of the XO6 collectibles.
They're so nice.
Not because I don't like them. It's just because they've been at a price point that
they're insane.
Like, I'm working toward buying a house.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not something I go, oh, honey, look what I bought for $250.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So once they're gone, they're gone?
As far as I know, I'm going to their website right now. And just to give you an idea, sold out ones, and they say sold out there. They don't say they're coming back, but Quark is sold out. Shran, Archer, Chakotay, Seven of Nine, Data, Locutus. Let's see what else we got. Sisko, Kolinar Spock, Tuvok, Janeway, Mirror Spock, the Doctor from Voyager, and Admiral Kirk from TMP are all sold out, and they have never brought any of them back.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a little mind blowing.
The detail on these things are just absolutely amazing. So I can't get Quark and Sisko, which I would love to have both if I was going to do the whole crew, because they have Kira is available right now. It is not sold out.
Yep.
She is not sold out. Bashir is coming. You can put a pre-order on that right now too. So, but I'm figuring, you know, Odo's my man. He's always been my favorite character. He'd be the person I would most want to hang out with in the Star Trek universe. I couldn't say no to getting Constable Odo. So
Neelix is pre-order. Ro is pre-order. Yep. Strange New World, Spock and Pike are pre-order.
And I'll tell you what, recently Todd Stashwick posted on his Instagram that XO6 came over to his table at a convention recently and gave him a prototype of Shaw. And it is incredible. That might be one. I might pull the trigger on that one because I love that character so much and it looks so good. So people check out Todd's Instagram for the video of it. It's really, they do great work.
I might in theory pull the trigger if they ever do it for regular TOS Spock. Mm-hmm. Because for TOS, they've only done two mirror figures.
I have both of them. I have Sulu and Spock. Those are the two that I've got.
That's it. You think they would have done some of the regular ones first?
Yeah. Yep.
But I might pull the trigger for Nimoy Spock.
Yeah.
Once he's regular Spock once he's available, just because.
It's Spock.
It's Spock, and Leonard to me has always been the heart and soul of Star Trek.
Yeah, it's interesting that they came out with Kolinar Spock from TMP before they came out with TOS Spock. In Chicago, we saw a display of the ones that they were working on, and I told you. If they ever do release Wheelchair Pike from TOS, I'll grab that one because that one's really good. So we'll see.
I see that Disco Bones is on the radar.
Disco Bones, that's with the beard? That's awesome.
If you look at their image for the motion picture and click into the page, the header shows the XO6 figure for Disco Bones.
Oh my God, that's great. I love it. That's great. They do good, but you know, you're right. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. It's an action figure and it's over $200. It's a lot. That's an expensive toy. They do great work. But ouch, just ouch. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I imagine I have some time. I would imagine that regular TNG Picard, would go fast. They put out more Voyager figures than they have. Really any other series. And that's great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I would want Picard before I'd want Chakotay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they've only done Saru for Discovery.
Akuchi Moya.
And they're coming. They also did some Lower Decks ones. And those ones for me, nah.
Cartoon they have
figures.
They have Commander Burnham for.
Do have Burnham? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not Captain, but Commander.
Okay.
From in the blue uniform.
Oh, okay. I don't even know if there she is. Hi. Okay. It's available. It's available to purchase right now. There you go. I like her hair now than that one. We're looking at the images right now.
Like, I agree. I don't have an interest in the Lower Decks ones.
No, I don't either.
Cause, I mean, they're cool. But I don't think I need a badgy XO6.
No, not at all. Shran looks awesome. If I didn't even know that it had gotten released, that might have been one I would have gotten because I just love Jeff so much. He's so great and everything he does.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah. Okay. So that's XO6. Today they get some free plugs from the Trek Geeks podcast.
I know. You'd think that we could get them to advertise on this garbage podcast.
I got an idea for them right now.
What's
Bill and Dan figure.
Get them on the phone.
$5 each.
No, we pay people to take them.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. Wow.
Before I move,
yeah,
I have to come over with my green screen and set it up in your garage because I have an idea for our Trek Long Island panel.
Hmm. Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
That's all I can say.
Okay.
Right now, we are scheduled, or it is tentatively scheduled that we have a panel at Trek Long Island. That's all we can say.
Right. And that's all we're going
to
say.
You know me. I like to do promotion for these things.
You do. You absolutely do.
So I have a very specific idea.
Okay.
That will involve setting up the green screen in your garage.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of lights.
Yep.
And taking some photos with my cell phone.
Okay. I like it. We'll do it. I'll approve it.
I'll talk to the boss.
I'll write that check.
I'm getting paid?
No. I'm getting paid. You're renting my garage, so I'm paying myself.
Yeah, but I'm doing all the labor.
That's your problem.
Wow. I see how it is. So you're going to pay yourself first, like always.
Hey, you know, that's what happens when you write the checks, baby.
Yeah, all it's, you know, because 15 cents goes a long way.
Oh, yeah. I was going to quote Step Brothers, but I'm breaking necks and cashing checks.
It's the fucking Catalina wine mixer. Careful, your mic.
I knew that was going to do that. I tried to pull back a little bit. That's probably one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie.
You overloaded your mic so much that it cut out your audio in the recording session.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You'd have to go across the room and do it.
You're welcome.
So go across the room and do it right now.
No, I'm not.
Do it.
I can't.
Do it.
I don't want to scare the puppy.
You're an ass. You're definitely tagging this one as explicit. Yeah.
This was fun.
Was it?
We should do this once a year. Have just an outtake episode of us talking about nothing.
Were you doing Seinfeld? Is that what that was?
Yeah,
it was terrible.
I know it was, because Seinfeld's a terrible show.
No, it's not.
I do not think that show holds up at all. I think Three's Company holds up better than Seinfeld.
I think that Seinfeld holds up better than Friends.
I agree with that. But I've never been a huge fan of the show. It's got its moments, but I've never been.
You know me. Yeah. I used to not like Seinfeld at all. And then, you know, we started watching things during the pandemic. And what do you watch when you feel like you've watched everything?
Right.
You watch things that maybe you wouldn't normally watch. So I watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which I love.
I watched Seinfeld,
which I really kind of like.
Yeah.
And I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I think is one of the funniest shows ever done. Creator of Seinfeld.
We're watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine right now.
That is fantastic. Oh, we watched that during the pandemic, too.
God, it is hysterical. I love it. Also, last night, we started watching Only Murders in the Building.
That's good.
And it's one episode in and love it. So, yeah.
You know, I had no concept of who Selena Gomez was before Only Murders in the Building. And I just now am sort of getting, I didn't know she sang.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
I thought she was just an actress. I had no idea.
Yep.
But she's a remarkably talented person. I had no idea. She's wonderful in the show.
Yep.
I haven't heard much of her music, but she does have a very, very talented voice.
Yeah, she does. And Steve Martin, I've been a fan of Steve Martin since the early Saturday Night Live days when he would be host. It's hard to believe. I was reading an article about him last night. There's a documentary that just came out on Apple TV about him, two-parter. One's called Past, one's called Present. He's 75.
Yeah.
And you just think, wow, we're getting old.
I got to tell you, Marty Short is my favorite part of Only Murders in the Building, because I've always been a big Marty Short fan.
And he's 70. He's born in 50, so he's 74.
Did you see the photo of Ernie Hudson with Paul Rudd at the latest Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, it's called thing? He's 78, and the dude is jacked. He looks like he's probably 55 or 60.
He's 78?
Yeah.
Ernie Hudson?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the picture right now. I would never in 1,000 years thought he was 78.
He's in the black t-shirt, right?
Yeah. He looks like he's like 40.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
If people say Paul Rudd doesn't age.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I have not seen it. It's not gotten great reviews, but I'm sure it's something that I'll watch. I haven't seen the first new one, Afterlife.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the new ones.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's not often that Sue and I will stop a movie. We stopped the Ghostbusters one with the lady leads and the guy who played Thor. It was awful. I did not care for it at all. So
I didn't watch it because it didn't look funny in the trailer.
It wasn't. And what we saw wasn't funny. I mean, like I said, there's only a couple movies that we've done that. One of our favorite go-to movies when we just want to put something on that we've seen a lot is the original John Carpenter's The Fog. It's campy. It's got funny parts. It's something that we've just loved for years and years. And they made a remake of it. I'm not sure even when the remake came out. Let me check right now. I'm looking at it right now. Actually, no, I can't look at it because I actually removed it off my Plex server. The first one came out in 1980. And of course, Adrian Barbeau's in the original. So why would you not love it?
Exactly. But
we stopped The Fog remake 20 minutes in and we're like, this is one of the worst movies ever made.
For people that think that we don't like Ghostbusters because we didn't like a movie with women leads, I'm going to say bullshit. I loved the Barbie movie.
And you know,
I loved Bridesmaids, which many of those same women are in.
Yep.
I've loved plenty of movies that have featured female leads. And it's just that Ghostbusters didn't look funny to me.
Absolutely. And I actually was hesitant to say it because I don't want people saying, oh, you just don't like movies. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just not a well done movie. Especially if you're fans of the original Ghostbusters starring Ron Jeremy with a cameo at the end. I'm just going to point that out there. but you didn't know that, did you? You didn't, did you? Did you know that?
No, Ron
Jeremy's
didn't care.
Actually in it.
I'm going to go with an unpopular take.
Oh, not a fan of Ghostbusters, I'm thinking.
No.
Okay.
I don't think Bill Murray is funny, and I don't think he's ever been funny.
I don't think that's a bad take at all. I don't disagree with you.
A lot of people love Bill Murray. They think, you know, he's eclectic, he's weird. He's Bill Murray in everything he's in. And every story, you know, about a movie being produced with him.
Yep.
Nobody knows if he's ever going to show up to set.
And when he's there, whether or not he's going to be a complete tool bag.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you on that at all. There are other people in Ghostbusters who I like. So
I think Ghostbusters is funny despite Bill Murray.
Yeah. Yep.
So there you have it. Okay. Knowing that he's in, I think he's in Frozen Empire.
He was in Afterlife also.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
No interest really.
Yeah.
Egon was my favorite character.
Yeah. I like
in the original Ghostbusters.
I'll see it at some point. It's not on my list. I'll probably finish The Office before I see it.
You know what we're watching now?
What's that? Oh boy.
Love is Blind on Netflix.
Okay, dude, I'm going to tell you right now, you're a fool. Because when I was getting my tattoo last week, they were watching that down at the other end of the studio, and I'm listening to it. I'm like, what in the effing F do people watch this stuff for? This is such crap. Watching it.
That is exactly why. It is great train wreck television at times. I like the concept of it. It's not like The Bachelor. You know, these people are in a room. And a pod, as they call it, they have dates, multiple dates, and they can't see the other person. So they're forced to talk and get to know each other and build a connection.
Yeah.
I appreciate that because it's not 20 women and one guy and let's see how many dates we can get and whether or not he picks me. Or it's not like Married at First Sight where there's no connection at all. They just thrust two people together.
Yeah.
I appreciate that it forces them to get to know the person. However, once they get out of the pods, there is plenty of horrible trash TV going on. Plenty of couple fights.
And there was the episode that was on when I was there, or the several, because I was there for so long.
We're in the first season, and we are not disappointed.
Well, didn't you watch The Tiger Show or something, too? Did you watch that one?
Well, Tiger King was a documentary.
Oh.
Well, but there was another one that I didn't watch the dramatization of it.
Maybe I'm thinking Duck
Hunters. I watched the documentary, but I watch 90 Day Fiance.
Okay.
I watch Married at First Sight. And now I watch Love is Blind. Dude, I'm the same guy who would, you know, when I would be home working or homesick as in particular from work, I would watch Jerry Springer and Maury Povich because I love crappy television.
Yeah. Morton Downey Jr.
No, not really. I didn't stay up late, know, and that was on when we were teens, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to have to get up at 3:30 to be at Friendly's by 5 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
To open for 6.
Right.
So I didn't stay up for Morton Downey. But yeah, I love just train wreck television, man. I really do.
I don't. And I'll tell you what, you're going to disagree with it, but I think you'll kind of know where I'm coming from. I think some aspects of The Office can be train wreck because you just feel so cringeworthy about Michael and the things that he does. Not train wreck might not be the right word, but that's the reason why Sue doesn't watch it. It's just too cringeworthy. I can't believe this is happening type stuff.
That's the beauty of the writing and the brilliance of Steve Carell.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many moments where you're like, oh my, he's not real. Oh my God, he did it. He did it.
Yep.
I remember we're on the plane and you're watching the Phyllis's wedding episode and you were laughing so hard. You're punching my leg on the plane. And there's so many cringeworthy moments. Like when he gets up to give a toast to Bob and Phyllis and he starts it multiple times. Like I'm Michael Scott because he believes, you know, you give the audience a couple looks when you're still workshopping material. You haven't gotten to some of the most cringeworthy episodes yet.
God. I did see a video the other day of when he leaves the office for the last time. The caption was that they were real tears.
Him
John
Krasinski.
John Krasinski, yeah. Yeah.
A couple episodes before that, it's called Michael's Last Dundies.
Oh.
You know, where they do another episode of the Dundies. And they get tossed out of the restaurant, kind of like they do in the first one. But they go back to Dunder Mifflin. And Steve Carell was the only one not in on it. But the cast starts singing the song from Rent, 985,600 minutes.
Yeah.
But they've adapted it for Michael.
Oh.
And they just kept the cameras rolling. Steve Carell stayed in character the whole time, had no idea it was happening. His tears were 100% real in that scene because it was a total surprise to him.
That's cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I will watch it. I do want to finish it. I do.
Where are you at now? You're still trapped in season 4 like you've been in for 6 months?
Yeah, still trapped. See if I can tell exactly where I am. Stand by. I'll bring that up right now.
Standing by to stand by.
Where I'm at.
Red 5 standing by.
Thank you. The Office.
Bumblebee Tuna.
I am on. Oh, I'm almost done. I think I'm on Night Out, episode 15. So I only have a few episodes left.
Well, there are a lot of 1 hour long episodes in season one at the early half. Fun Run is an hour long. Dunder Mifflin Infinity is an hour long. So are Launch Party and Money.
Goodbye, Toby.
Goodbye, Toby is really good. Goodbye, Toby sets up something that through lines through the rest of the series and or the rest of Michael's time on the series.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm almost done season 4.
Did I Stutter is great. Job Fair is fantastic.
Those are the next two after Night Out. Yep. There you go.
And cool. Goodbye, Toby. You will laugh a lot.
Okay. All right.
Dinner Party for me is arguably the best episode of The Office.
That is so good. Yeah.
But so cringy. Great.
It is so cringy. So cringy, but
there's
so
another one coming in season 7. I think it is called Scott's Tots. More cringy.
The deposition was cringy too.
Oh my gosh. I will allow it.
Good stuff. All right, cool. So I'll have to get on that. Of course, I'll be flying alone so I could watch a whole bunch of them on the plane to Vegas.
Yeah, dude, that's 5 months away.
I know. I'll probably be at the end of season 4 by then.
I doubt it. You're going to be like, I forgot everything I watched, so I had to go back to season 1.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh. Oh, well.
Dan, you know what we can't forget?
What's that? Oh, I think
our friends, the band 5-Year Mission. We may have talked about nothing this episode, but 5-Year Mission is definitely something and something that everybody should love. They're doing one song for each episode of the original Star Trek. And these songs, as we've said so many times, they're not parodies of Star Trek. they are looks at these episodes in ways you might not have imagined.
Yes.
They tell a story, and they kind of complement every episode that they've done a song for. So that's fiveyearmission.net. Please go get all their albums on CD, get them shipped to you. That way you own the physical media. No streaming service can dump it from you.
Right.
And just become a huge fan like Dan and I are. So this fiveyearmission.net, get those songs.
Get them all. You'll love them. Every single one. They're great. They're fantastic. You know, I got to say, man, I was so excited to watch the episode this week that I was going to watch. One of the best. Really is. It gets a bad rap about being a bad episode, but I really don't think it is. But then I was just, I got to say, I was just disappointed. I turned it on and there was just nothing there. Blank space. No music. No drums, nothing. Just dark emptiness and some cobwebs. It was Fark's brain. It was like eye drops, Fark, not vaginal cream.
What?
Just check Fark's Facebook post. And you'll get
you really got to give that some context because nobody listening to the podcast that isn't friends with Fark is going to have any idea what you're talking about.
It was one of those ones. I don't go on Facebook a whole lot, but I did. I did go into post about the pup today, so I'm scrolling through and Bark's job is he is like a I don't know what his title is, but I'm gonna read what he said. Just had a lady get mad at me for asking what she ordered for a charge dispute per policy. Quote: It was eye drops. If I had said it was vaginal cream, would you write that down? End quote. Yes, ma'am, I would. I mean, it just struck me as funny, so that's why I decided to throw that in. Funny,
is it?
It is.
Which
Fark
part's
is funny?
Well, that's indisputable. Your telling of it, I think, probably loses something in the translation.
When doesn't it, though? Lost in translation. That's another one.
It's Bill Murray. I didn't like
oh,
it.
Oh, that's true. That's right. Okay, never mind.
And he is playing something a little different than Bill Murray, but I thought, yeah, not great.
Wow. We've gone way off track.
Dark emptiness and some cobwebs. I think that also describes Dan's brain.
Yes, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about five-year mission, Fark.
So you're saying Fark's brain has nothing in it?
Cobwebs. That's something. More than me.
Dark emptiness.
Mm.
I would posit that Fark is smarter than you are.
Not going to disagree with that in any way, shape, or form.
So your brain is just dark emptiness without cobwebs?
Awesome.
Fiveyearmission.net. Go get those CDs. Of course, don't forget you too can subscribe to us on Patreon, where you get perks and you get to be part of a pretty awesome group of people, Dan.
Yeah, they are awesome. We love all of them. Right now, I'm going to take a special moment, as I do every episode, to thank our associate producers of Trek Geeks. And they are. It's a long list, so I got to take a deep breath. Vikram Bhatt, Chad Clark, Corey Clay, Brad DeMag, William Edward M. Jr., Brandon Everidge, Andy Fark, that guy, Kimberly Francis, Jonathan Hamilton, Ryan Jeffs, Sean Lynn, Rick Mason, Jamie McGregor, Ross McKinney, Aaron Molenkoff, Sarah Ledoux, Helen Reed, Sarah Rutlinger, Tim Robertson, Desi Rogers, Greg Rozier, Eric Sakian, Adam Sanders, Tim Serdar, Heather Sohn, Blake Strike, Lisa Tomlinson, Ron Robel, Kalia Zawaki. I love saying that. I love saying that. And the gracious and wunderbar, Connie Hutchin.
Wunderbar. You should do next week or next episode all as Schwarzenegger again.
I can do that. The entire list?
The entire list.
Challenge accepted.
And then we're going to make you do double duty. You can do the producers as Captain Kirk.
Oh, you're going to have me do both?
Yeah. Double
wow.
duty.
Wow. Okay.
However, this week I will read our wonderful Trek Geeks producers. They are Mike Bovia, Steve Bovia, Chaz Bradshaw, Kyle Castillo. I lost my place in the list and it was the number two spot. That does not bode well for the rest of the list. Kyle Castillo, Peter Craig, Andy Davenport, Craig Ewing, Jackie and Chris Hackney, Brian Hackwith, Kimberly Hartman, David Hood, Lionel Marchand, Matt McGonigal, Jim McMahon, Darren Metcalf, Charlie Mulvey, Sean O'Halloran, Casey Pettit, Jamie Rogers, Casey Shafsky, Terry Schull, Jim Stoffel, Chris Trabuzio, Christina Werther, and the lovely and talented Jess Vachon. Dan, The senior producer of Trek Geeks. Ooh. Let's take a break here for a second. The senior producer of Trek Geeks is somebody we could do an entire episode on.
Damn right.
It would not be an episode of nothing because he is amazing.
Absolutely.
He is 100%. Jude Tatman, and he is the permanent senior producer of Trek Geeks. Keeps us in line like nobody else.
He will be the only person ever in infinity to have the title of senior producer of Trek Geeks, and we could not be more proud of this young man. How are things across the pond, buddy? Hope you're doing well. Say hi to the family also. You know, everybody listening, you can become a producer of Trek Geeks, and it's so easy to do. Head on over to patreon.com/trekgeeks for all the details.
Of course, for more great Star Trek discussion, we want everyone to check out the other podcasts here on the network. You know, we got so many shows all created by great Star Trek fans that just want to celebrate the franchise we love. Sci-Fi Sisters, so many great conversations to start their fourth season. Oh my goodness. Big Sci-Fi Podcast is killing it right now. We're kind of doing stuff every now and then, but so many shows, all of whom have great content that you're just going to love. You can find all our podcasts on our website, or you can get a link to your favorite podcast player by going to trekgeeks.com/listen.
Trek Geeks. No one. I'm going to say that again. You people better listen to me. No one talks Trek like we do.
And of course, for all the news on all the Star Trek CEO, please visit our great friends at treknews.net. For now, this has been episode number 312 of the Trek Geeks podcast. We do hope you all live long and prosper. I think your brain just died.
Music for Trek Geeks is provided by 5-Year Mission. They're writing an original song for each episode of Star Trek. Hear more of their music at 5yearmission.net. Trek Geeks is a production of Coconut Media Works, executive producers Bill Smith and Dan Davidson. For more great Star Trek discussion, discover the other shows of the Trek Geeks Podcast Network at trekgeeks.com or find us in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
Bong.
Ooh, that little raspy. That was kind of sexy.
You just described me. Bing, bing bong.
Bing bong.
So what do you do for an outtake when you've had an hour of outtake?
I don't know. Maybe I'll go get takeout. No? Backwards?
Okay. I see why we should have deleted this now.
It's gonna be a long episode.
I see why we should have deleted this.
I have no idea. I'm trying to save all my good stuff for the actual episode, but I don't really have any good
stuff. That'd be the first time in 300 and some odd episodes.
Come on. You have to be absolutely right on target. This is 312.
Well, there's also been some supplementals that we used to count. Didn't count.
Supplemental this, turkey neck.
Turkey neck?
That was a phrase that my dad would say all the time. He was dicking around with us, joking around and having fun. We'd say something, and if he didn't want to believe it, or he just wanted to be a wise guy, like if you said, oh, I'm going to drive, I get 35 miles a gallon, he'd be like, oh, 35 miles this, turkey neck. And we'd all be like, what? Sometimes he would say turkey breath, too, which is always good.
So my father-in-law, I adore him. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. I love my in-laws genuinely, like I know, you know, you love your in-laws.
Yes. Yep.
And my wife and I are in the car with them one day going to dinner, and he's telling a story and he's trying to punctuate how, but you know, somebody just isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And he's like, you know what I say? I say, man up or shit in your hat. And Kelly and I are in the backseat going, the hell does that mean? Man up or what? It's like, I don't have time. I'm wearing a hat. And I said, I am not shitting in this.
That's a new one. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah. So yeah. Every now and then we'll drop a, you know, with each other, a man up or shit in your hat.
Nice.
Let alone let's talk about the problematic aspect of the phrase man up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that aside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really the whole shit in your hat thing people should be focusing on.
I think that's what that's kind of like a thing that you kind of just like the spotlight shines right on it, which is kind of gross in itself when you think about it.
Yeah. So there you have it. We got,
okay.
So now if we marry the two together, it's man up or shit in your hat, turkey neck.
I love it. I'm going to use that tonight. Every Friday night, I FaceTime with Donna and Chris every Friday night.
You know, they live 15 minutes away.
I know, but it's something that started in Maine, and it's never really stopped. I'm going to use that tonight, and they're going to both look at me like, what the hell are you talking about? That's great. Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you.
You are welcome.
That's a good hashtag. That's a long one, too.
I don't think it is.
All right.
It is a long one. You are not incorrect there for once. So, considering that we're just going to be outtaking the whole thing, maybe we should actually cut an episode.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready.
Man up or shit in your hat, Dan.
Thank you.